Jesus, I will cling to you. Come what may, 'cause I know you're able. I know.
All right, welcome. Please stand and join us. We're going to sing a few songs this afternoon.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come today to celebrate the life of Debbie and what a blessing she was to just hundreds and hundreds and probably even thousands of people. And so we praise you and we thank you for one that you called to yourself, one that served you so faithfully and so diligently for so many years. And I pray that as we give the honor that she deserves, that we would realize that it's just really honor that you deserve for all that you did and all that you accomplished in and through her life. May this time of celebration be one that brings back many wonderful memories and memories that we will hold on to and keep for many years to come. And we'll thank you in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all so much for coming to honor Debbie and her life. And some of you traveled quite a distance, and we appreciate that. Thank you so much. I had the honor of actually interviewing Debbie back in 1993 before she ever came to work with us on staff. And we remember taking her out to eat at the, I forget the name of it now. Somebody told me the other day they changed
Ruby
names.
Tuesday.
Ruby Tuesday, down off of Skybow across from the mall. And I remember sitting there, just my wife Beth and myself talking with her, and her sharing with us a little bit of where she had been and what she wants to do or wanted to do, I mean, the years to come. And I had the privilege of actually having four different relationships with her. Initially, was just a co-worker. I worked over at the church and did finances and taught in the school. And so in the beginning, we just kind of taught together and had that relationship. And then God blessed, and I was able to become her principal for a few years, and then the school administrator for a few years. And then the last several years that she was here as one of her pastors, as her executive pastor. And so many different relationships, and each one grew, and I appreciate all of that. And as I was thinking about Debbie and what I would say today, I just wanted to share in my mind what set Debbie apart from most other people. And other than the fact that she was just super smart and intelligent and just smart as a whip, always had an answer to come back to whatever you said. But Debbie always had a positive attitude. Really, no matter what the circumstance or the situation, Debbie really tried to stay positive about it and have something positive to say about it. Even when her classes weren't, the class as a whole wasn't as good as other years, she would look for good things and positive things to say about the students and what was going on that year. Debbie had a sense of humor. It was a little different sense of humor, but she had a sense of humor. I remember in the teachers, we had teachers' devotions. At that time, it was, I don't know, who's in the room now where your office used to be? That first one on the right.
You were for London.
What's that?
Who's in there now?
Yes.
Spanish teacher.
Okay, some electives are in there, but when you go in the building over there to the right, we used to have teachers' meetings in there. And I remember, you know, we'd get there early and just kind of banter back and forth, and she and I were kind of going back and forth a little bit, and she was giving me a hard time, and I don't remember what it was, and I said, just remember who signs your paychecks. You know, and so she kind of quieted down a little bit, but didn't last for long. And then she kind of came back a little bit later on. But she just had a good sense of humor and knew when to use it and how to use it. The other thing that I thought about Debbie is she always saw the good in other people. Just always looked for good in whoever she met. Whether it was a student, a parent, a grandparent, just anybody she came in contact with, she strove to see the good in them. Another thing was she saw potential in every student. I don't think she ever had a student that she didn't think and believe could succeed. And just never gave up on anybody. And no matter how poorly the student did, no matter how much they struggled, she just always knew in her heart and pushed them to succeed because she always saw potential there and knew that even if, you know, even if they even if she knew they couldn't get A's, she knew they could pass. She knew they could do a little bit better than where they were at. And so she just always saw that potential and always pushed them. Debbie loved unconditionally. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone that had such an unconditional love for other people other than maybe my mother than Debbie. Just, it really didn't matter who you are, what you had done to her, anything. She loved you. And she cared about you. And she let you know that she did. She didn't just keep that to herself. Another thing about Debbie is she had a heart to teach. I couldn't tell you how many times she told me, if I didn't teach, I just don't want to do anything. If I can't teach, I'd just rather die. That was her heart. That was her mission. That was all she wanted to do, was to teach. And to teach young people, and especially fifth grade. Back to that sense of humor, and I'll get to it in a minute. But, you know, Debbie, you know, there were many years that I tried to get her to move into our high school and teach math because she was good at math. And, you know, many times we would need a math teacher in the high school, and I'd be like, well, you can teach fifth grade in the morning, and then you can teach math in the afternoon and try to work the schedule out. No. And I'm like, would you at least consider it? And she'd be, I'll pray about it. And I knew that was no. And you know, she just finally would say, you know, God has called me to minister to fifth grade students, and that's where I want to be. And that's what I'm going to do. And she did it well, and she did it for many, many years. But she had a heart to teach. She had a desire to excel. You know, Debbie never just, I don't think she ever just did the same thing year after year after year. She was always striving to add something else or enhance something or add a little extra to what she was doing. And so she wanted to excel. She wanted to do better. Number eight, Debbie knew when to be flexible, but she always stood her ground when necessary. And that kind of goes back to what I said about her, trying to get her to teach in the high school for me a little bit there. But you know, there were often that she you know, she could be flexible. She knew when she could bend and when that was okay. But she also could stand her ground and just say, no, this is what I feel called to do, and this is what I'm going to do. And so she wasn't going to be pushed into something that she didn't want to do. Number nine, Debbie was faithful and loyal. Just her example of being here for 24 years is just a testimony of her faithfulness and her loyalty to our ministry and to Berean Baptist Academy. And then, and these aren't in any specific order, but Debbie loved the Lord. I probably should have said that first, but Debbie's love for God just came out in just in who she was and how she handled herself, just in her speech, in her teaching, in how she corrected her children or her students. All of that, just the love for God just exuded out of her. And you could tell that she had a relationship and a fellowship with God. And that was very evident. And then Debbie also was an encourager. She knew how to encourage people when they were discouraged. And she could, there were days she'd see me and she'd say, what's bothering you? How can I pray for you? Let me encourage you. And she wouldn't say, let me encourage you, but she'd have encouraging words. Send me an email or write me a note just to encourage me. And then lastly, Debbie persevered even in the tough times. And she just endured until the end. She persevered. And during her 24 years here, there were some good years and some not so good years and, you know, good classes and not so good classes. But you know what? None of that really affected Debbie. She just took one day at a time, one year at a time, and just persevered, endured, and just kept every day. She'd get up, she'd come to work, she'd do what God had called her to do. And what a great testimony and example for us today. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And I don't know if there's much else I could really say about Debbie, other than she regarded herself as first a servant of Christ, second as a steward of what God had given to her, and then she was faithful in what she did and how she acted. Thank you for letting me share this morning.
Like Dr. Wilson, I had the privilege of knowing Debbie in many different ways. And I guess I got to see her at the end of the journey here at BBA. And I'm going to throw another word on there, consistent. All the way to the end. We offered her an honorary plaque for her service to us. And she told us to keep it. I'll be back. We have that for the family today. Matthew 7:20 says, by their fruits they will be known. And it's going to be hard to say more than what Steve has already said. But I'm going to tell you, when I thought of her, and Pastor Sean challenged us, think of words that remind you of her. One of the words was humble. And she had a humility that just baffles my mind, because I would go to her classroom before professional development meetings or anything, and I would beg her to take a module and teach it. I'd beg her to speak up in professional development. I'd beg her to put input in, because let's put it this way. If you haven't learned from Debbie, you probably didn't have a conversation with her. She taught every one of us every single day, whether it was in a one-to-one conversation or whether it was in the classroom. I mean, you didn't have to be her fifth grade student to learn. She was there for you each and every day. And you talk about that heart, Steve. We were in Myrtle Beach, the first teacher conference, and it was bike week. They got booked on the same week. And all the Christians were like, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. I can't believe this. And Debbie says, you have to look past the people to the soul. God didn't make a mistake in scheduling it on the same week. There's hundreds of Christian school teachers here now walking the same streets they're driving up and down. And that was who she was. It's why every kid, she saw the potential in them. It's why the Chicago bus trips were so important. Thank you for sharing that, brother. And if you're here, well, here's another word for you, heritage. The crown of rejoicing that's in heaven because of what she did in your life. She left a heritage. And if you were one of her students, I would challenge you to be like her. We would all do better to do that. And yes, she did honor the King of Kings. She honored the Lord so much that she consistently wondered if she was doing it right. I'm like, Debbie, I don't know people who do it much better. But she did. She wanted to. And not just for the Lord's sake, but because you, her family, Mom, because you gave her a Christian heritage to hold on to. She wanted to honor you. She wanted to honor her father, her family, because she knew in doing so that she would honor God, because that is one of the commandments. And she lived them out. You know, we think about how many people memorize verses. I can't think of, you got to challenge yourself, how many verses did Debbie live before you? Day in and day out. Bible says be consistent in season, out of season. That's what she was. She was a rock that any one of us knew we could go to on any given day. And we would be brought back through subtle conversation and walk out feeling like, man, I need to hit my knees and repent before the Lord because she has set me straight. I thank every one of you for coming out and celebrating her life, because that's what it is. Because the last word is home. She's home. And all the challenges are gone. In perfect peace, she's in the arms of the Lord. And, you know, sometimes you wonder, can you say that in such an event? There's no doubt in my mind, because by their fruits they're known. Thank y'all.
If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you. Cause there's a wound here in my heart where something's missing, and they tell me that it's gonna heal with time.
But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased. And knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. But now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight and race is won. The pain is all a million miles away. The only scars in heaven. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. Day goes by that I don't see you. You live in all the better parts of me. Until I'm standing in the sun, I'll fight this fight, this race I'll run, until I finally see what you can see. Oh, the only scars in heaven. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now.
I want Matt to share a memory. She taught you, right, Matt?
She did not teach me.
She did not.
No. So I attended Berean from 9th through 12th grade. So I never actually had the opportunity to be taught by Debbie, but seeing her in the hallway. And then once I've been out of school in my adult life, attending church with Debbie, just what a blessing. I see classmates of mine that did have her, and I know the impact she had on them. I know the love that she had for Michael and Josh specifically. I'll have to share a story with you later, Michael. But just
share it now. Share it now. We all want to hear this.
All right. So... I'll share it now. Debbie loved you so much. I know there was a time where things kind of got off path, things that maybe you wouldn't be proud of, but she was worried for you.
Yeah.
And we lived in the same apartment complex as Debbie for a while, so tried to look out for her a little bit, and you by extension. So there was a time where you were hanging out with the wrong crowd, things like that, and there was a night where you were doing something that you probably wouldn't be proud of, But she was worried, and she called me, and I ended up calling someone to intervene, and I think it kind of scared you into coming back onto the right path a bit. I'll just spare details for you, but she loved you guys so much, and you could see the love she had for her students and for the Lord. And I was talking with my son yesterday, and just like Jack said, you'll know them by their fruit. And I can't think of anything better for a family member than seeing the fruit like she had and having that confidence that she's with our Lord and Savior today. So I'll just leave it at that.
Amen. So we want everyone to have an opportunity to share. We have a mic here so that those that are watching on the live stream, we know Vonda Chapman's watching. We know that others that couldn't be here are watching. So come right now and share a memory about Debbie. We're in no hurry. John's coming.
You have to forgive me. I hadn't actually planned on doing this, but I was just so touched by everything. Of course, I wasn't taught by Debbie, or maybe I was. My son, our younger son, Sean, was in her fifth grade, and he came home from school right after school started that year and said, Dad, he said, we're going to be talking about engines this year. And I said, well, that's cool. And so the next time I was in church and I saw Debbie, I saw her and I said, so Sean comes home and says, you guys are going to be talking about engines this year. And she said, yes. And she just rolled her eyes and she said, Mr. Miller, do you know anything about engines? She said, I don't know anything about them. And I said, well, yeah, a little bit, I guess. And she said, can you come in and talk to our class about engines? And I said, yes, I guess I can. So anyway, so I put a little presentation together, and I went in there, and I remember standing out in the hall waiting, and she called me in, and when I stepped in the door, the class, you know, came to their feet, and that caught me by surprise. I'm looking around, and I said, you guys sit down, sit down. She said, I'm just going here to talk to you about engines a little bit, and I did. And we had a good time, and you're talking about her intelligence and everything. She asked me some fairly challenging questions, how engines work, what they do, all that kind of stuff. And they were challenging questions, and I was just struck by her enthusiasm about it. And then after the class, of course, she was just so appreciative and so thankful. And I said, well, you know, I enjoyed it. It was really nothing. I appreciate the opportunity to do it. And but for a long time after that, but she would just, you know, tell me how much she enjoyed the class and how much she appreciated it and how much she learned and how much she thought the class learned from it. And then, of course, but what that tells me is thankfulness and gratitude are a taught thing. And she not only taught her class to be thankful and show appreciation and gratitude, but she did that herself. And it speaks to her family that they taught her to be that way, to be thankful and to show gratitude. And so not only did she show it herself, but she taught her class that. And then even a week or so after I gave that little presentation, I received a card in the mail, and she had had all her students in the class sign it, and I just appreciate that. And so I just appreciate her and her intelligence and her love of the Lord and how much she taught her class about appreciation and showing gratitude and thankfulness.
Hi, Matthew. I had the blessing to be one of her students. Miss Smith, she was just awesome. That's the best way to put it. She made going to school like the best thing ever. She had such a positive, just attitude to life. And I knew for my year, there were several times when she was really sick, but she always had a smile. And one of my favorite things was, if you knew Miss Smith and you were a student, then you'd probably heard some of her stories. And there's no story like a Miss Smith story. And I'd go home and I'd tell my dad, and I'd be like, Miss Smith told us this crazy story. He goes, there's no way that happened. I go, no, Miss Smith said it happened. So it happened. And they were a little far-fetched, but she always, she can make you smile. And she loved each and every one of her students. And I don't think there's a single student she's had that would say she didn't love them. She had the biggest heart anyone I know, and I would not be where I am with my walk with God or out from Miss Smith. And that's Miss Smith.
All right, who's next?
Miss Smith, to me, had one of the greatest attributes that you could have as a teacher, which is being personal. I think one of the most important things is to not only have your teacher be able to talk to you in class, but if you had something go on outside of school, or you had something else, you could go up to them and actually talk to them. And it didn't seem like they were brushing it off. It actually felt like they cared about what was going on. So that was one of my favorite things about her. And Matt, he just mentioned stories. Look, almost every student that I know knows this story of Tony Bagano. If y'all heard that story, it was about just a little kid throwing a pencil across the room and hitting a kid in the eye. But it was her favorite story. We heard it all the time. But she loved stories. She loved talking to students. And she just had such a strong drive for the Lord. Everything that she taught, she could correlate math into, you know, loving the Lord, which I've tried to find math in the Bible, and it's... Anyways. But no, anything that she taught, she could find to the Lord. I remember multiple occasions, we used to have the plays, and she'd be sitting up here on the pew, and you do one tiny mistake, and she stops you. And it's, I missaid one word, and we're stopping the entire thing. Okay, interesting. But she loved everything she did. Anything she did, she made sure that it was perfect the way that she wanted it. And man, it was so eye-opening to see someone who, you know, was there to help you, but also wanted to make sure that you were okay and that everything you did for the Lord. So standing here, it's definitely, she's definitely one of the most inspirational teachers that I've had. And I can't really think of many other teachers that I could say inspired me as much as Miss Smith did. So, thank you all.
Like John Miller said, she didn't teach me either. But she was in my home a number of times, and she was very intelligent, and she had an acerbic wit. And you didn't want to cross swords with her, I'll tell you that, because she would generally win. She and my wife had a special affinity in that they were teachers. And so they got along real well, and we loved her immensely. When we learned of her passing, we looked at some of the old yearbooks, the 2000 yearbook that was dedicated to her. And three of her former students had a note in there. And at the risk of boring you, I'd like to read those to you. Justin Salzman, who was then in the sixth grade, says she was funny. She used a lot of expressions. We hatched baby chickens. It was lots of fun. She taught us never to give up and to always do our best. Ashley Thompson, who was in a ninth grader, wrote, she taught us through interesting demonstrations, experiences, things easier to understand. She was a lot of fun. And the third child that wrote something in that book, I know him pretty well. He's the youngest of my three sons. And I'm here to tell you, if you knew him, he could bend a ball bearing in a padded cell. He would drive you crazy. And you know what? Miss Smith had zero problems with him. He loved her to death. He wrote in the book, she taught us to have a good attitude no matter the outcome of the situation. And he would be here today, but he's working down in South Carolina. And he still remembers her so fondly and loved her to death. And I think she was very unusual. And I've lived quite a while, and I've been around a lot of people. And you don't meet a lot of people like Miss Smith, who have all the characteristics that Dr. Wilson and Dr. Farmer mentioned earlier. And she was, I would just tell you, as a former military guy, if she worked for you, you knew you could always depend on her. Things might be less desirable than you wanted them to be, but she would figure out a way to get it done. And I know she was in our home a number of times, and we spent some time with her when she was really sick, and she really always had a very positive attitude. I don't think I would have in the situation of sin, but we loved her to death, and thank you for letting me share that with you, and thank you guys for sharing her with us.
I had the privilege of being the principal the last year that Debbie was here, and I wish I'd have known her for much longer than I did. The year that I was here, and she had just gotten her scooter, and she loved that scooter, and somewhat to my chagrin, I found out later she was racing students because she was so excited that she could go so fast on that scooter, there's a lot of educators in here, a lot of people that have worked, do work in education, and I certainly hope that this would not offend, but I don't know in all my years if I've ever known someone who was so skilled, so gifted with teaching. I can't tell you how many times, even in Debbie's absence, that she comes to mind, and I thought, man, she could turn the entire direction of a class without ever raising her voice, just very softly. I know that she would frequently work in the summer with students, those that were struggling, to make sure every single summer that they were ready for the next year. But I also knew her as a parent. Fourth grade was a bit of a tough year. And I'll be honest, I don't think any teacher has touched my boy to this day as much as Debbie did. And so now she doesn't need a scooter. And probably trying to see who she could outrun in heaven right now. That's probably what she's trying to do. And so, Debbie, we love you.
Well, I think we gave all the other point of views, so I think we need another coworker point of view. Debbie meant so much to me, and I was sharing this with my wife, a story. A lot of teachers would tell you things, but not many would show you. And that was true in her Christian life, too. There was a time when I was frustrated because I was the math teacher up in the sixth grade and higher. And I went to her to vent, and I told her about, you know, the frustrations I was having. And off the cuff, I said something I didn't mean, but I didn't realize it. I said, what are you teaching them down there in fifth grade that they come to sixth grade? And things like that. And I didn't know anything of it. But a few days later, she came to me and said, you know, James, I wanted you to know that I want you to forgive me. And I thought, forgive you? What did you do? And she said, because I got really upset at what you said. And I forgave you right away, but I need you to forgive me for holding a grudge against you for a few days. And it changed my life. So now every time I see someone that I might get a little frustrated with,
I always go to them and say, I need you to forgive me because I'm holding a grudge towards you and you didn't even know. And Debbie was the one that taught me that in her Christian life.
James, I have to come behind you on that and share this story. I got called to Miss Smith's classroom one day while my child was in the fifth grade. And I was, oh my goodness. And so she wanted to tell me something about my child. And I'm like, what? If anybody knows Emily, Emily's like, never anything. She wanted to ask for my forgiveness for something she had done. And I was like, my goodness. So apparently during class, Debbie spoke something not so kind in French. And there was a giggle in the classroom. We were on that we had just come from a year in France and Emily had taken French. And she hears giggling in the classroom. And so she called Emily to her desk and asked her, did you understand me? To which Emily replied, "Way." So she called me in and she asked me to forgive her for saying something like that in front of my child. It was nothing too bad. But I also served with Debbie as a co-worker as well. And there were many times that I just went to her for advice because I know it came from a place of love, truth, wisdom, mercy, and grace, because she knew how to. She knew how to teach the adults too. So I just wanted to share that, but that was, like you said, I was shocked that she wanted to ask for forgiveness for saying something that I thought it was funny. It was great. Thank you.
Every time I think of Debbie, the word precious comes to my heart. And precious means very valuable. You know, and I don't think on this side of heaven we see the value of her life and what God did in and through her. You know, Debbie was a very broken person when I met Debbie, and that was over 20 years ago. And it's amazing what God did in Debbie, isn't it, Veronica? It is, you know, and what God can do in a heart and in a life and transform it her for his glory in so many ways. I think of the verse, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I know as believing people in here, that's what we all want to hear one day. And, you know, when I think about Debbie, you know, all those words, well, what she did well. And so many have testified to that. And as a person that has many things on the two, Debbie did one thing really, really well, and that was teaching so many. And Debbie also prayed well. And I think that's something for me I need to do better, I know. But she taught us so much in her praying. And there was probably not a time that I was with Debbie that we didn't close, "Let's pray together, Kim. You know, let's pray about this." And I knew Debbie when I was single, and we would have prayer meetings together, but Debbie really prayed for her students. And I remember years later, you know, we were talking about a child, and she said, "I still pray for them." And she said she had lists. She was telling me this after I got back from Guam, that she had lists of students, and she prayed for them regularly, you know. And Debbie was not a person who was out doing a million things at nighttime. You know, and I think about the quietness of her life. I mean, she taught and she stayed here from morning till night. But at nighttime, she had a lot of quiet. And Debbie spent a lot of time with her Savior in prayer. And that is a treasure. That's such a treasure. Who is that person anymore? Who is doing that? And I know when I think about Debbie, I think about the words, well done. And I know she's hearing that from her Savior. She loves so much, thou good and faithful servant. And Debbie was a servant. She was good and faithful. And Veronica, I know that you all will miss her so. But what a precious hope we have that this is not it. And we are looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. And so I know that's what Debbie would want us to focus on today. Look up, because your redemption's drawing near. And all to all her students, oh, she loved you so. Her family, Veronica, you know, she loved you so. And Michael and Josh, and oh, we prayed for you boys for a long time. Debbie was my water aerobics partner years ago. And so we had a lot of fun times together, but just so thankful for her life. And thank you for a great God who can take a life and do so much with it. So well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Miss Smith taught me in fifth grade. And apart from all the funny stories and everything, I think one of the other things in tandem with that, that she taught me that was really impactful, was that life is hard, and you just got to get over it. She would say, you know, so, suck it up. Okay, it's hard, so. Like, that, you know, she was constantly driving you. You would say that you couldn't figure something out, and she'd go, and? So what are you going to do next? You know, there was always a challenge. And she always said it with a smile on her face, too. And I think apart from, you know, just that joy of, you know, this is life. God, you know, there's going to be some hard times. But that doesn't mean that it's bad. And that doesn't mean that you can't. I think she was one of the influential people in my young emerging life that taught me it's okay to say you need help. It's okay to go to somebody and get help and admit that you can't do it. I know that was a big struggle for me. I always wanted to do something myself and figure it out. I didn't want to admit, because to me I thought that was a failure, that I couldn't do something and that I needed that assistance. And she did a really good job with teaching me that. She made me want to be a teacher. And when I went to college, I remember getting close to student teaching, my advisor challenged us to sit down and make a list of some things that we wanted to be as a teacher. And I thought of a lot of different things that Ms. Smith had done that made me want to implement. She would walk around the room and leave little sticky notes on our desk to just let us know that she was proud of us for being, you know, being good that day, or she saw something that we did to help another student, or sometimes it would just say, hi, with a smiley face. Like, she was just always so encouraging, and there were times throughout the day she would call us up to her desk one by one just to ask how we were doing and to just check in. And it was a real quick, you know, do you have something I can pray for? And she had a notebook sitting right there, so you knew that she wasn't asking empty. She was actually asking with the intention to do it. Kind of like Michael said, you knew that you could go to her for anything. I remember going and talking to her many times after fifth grade. And then talking about the intelligence piece, I remember when I came back to teach my first year, and, you know, that young ignorance slash arrogance of, I know all these cool technology things from college that I just learned, and maybe I'll get to teach some of these, you know, older teachers some things. And good night, she had already figured out so much with, like, the computer and the, I remember she used to do the overhead with the, what was it even called? The, yes, she would always do that for our math and everything, and now here she is doing the PowerPoint and the smart board and everything, and I was just like, wow. wow. Like, I was so blown away. And she just kind of smiled and was like, well, what'd you expect? You know, she was like, of course I learned it, you know. So she was just a joy, and it was just awesome. And I really loved her, and I think I've learned so much from her, and I appreciate that.
One of the memories that I want to share about Debbie is we were neighbors right across the street by the preschool, and I lived next door to her. And she was an early riser and went to bed early. And she would say, Viola, why are you playing so late in the midnight playing piano? And I thought, I wasn't playing at midnight. I said, yeah, you were. I said, but it was only like 9 o'clock. I don't play past 9 o'clock. He said, yeah, but you still played at midnight to me. So, but she was an amazing lady, and I love her so much. And I sad not to see her, but she was a helper to me when I was here. I think we got here about the same time. She was there taking me to groceries and did a lot of stuff that I was able to do to her in her last days here. And I'm thankful for her. She taught me a lot of things, and one of the things is never give up. She always persevered. I look at her life at the end, how much she went through, yet she never gave up. She just said, you know, you have to go on. There's nothing. If you give up, then there's nothing for you to do except die. And I witnessed that, and I enjoyed the time taking her to the hospital because I get to talk to her instead of just passing. So what a blessing to know her and to know you guys. And she loves you guys so much. And I just leave it at that. And I want to say, Vonda wanted to be here so bad. But with her circumstance, is she just good now? But I just wanted to tell her for her that she loves you guys. And praying for you. And she loves Debbie too.
We definitely appreciate everybody coming, but I've heard a lot about what she's done. I want to talk a little bit about who she was. A lot of you, if you knew her personally, you would know that she had a very intense level of sarcasm about her constantly. She had a great dry humor. You could just be sitting there and she'd say something off the cuff and you would just start laughing your head off. If you had the pleasure of sitting next to her in church, you would know all the little sly comments she would whisper to you or anything else. She was a great encourager. I do believe she firmly loved every student. There was never a doubt in my mind the time that she spent. But I wanted to tell everybody this one story. My relationship with my aunt was different than the one Michael had with his aunt. Mine was more, we loved to irritate each other, and I specifically loved to push buttons. If you know this about her, you know she was only a little OCD. She was a lot OCD. And I remember when I was spending some time with her I think I was either coming to visit or one of the situations was, she had irritated me, so I was thinking, well, it's game on now. So I was leaving the pantry door open and some of the cupboards open around the house, because just that little thing I knew would drive her bonkers. And I remember her, later on when I told her that I was doing it on purpose, she goes, oh, Josh, I was praying for you in the teachers' meetings and having everybody pray for you. And people thought I was like having all these struggles or something, but I was just irritating her. And I'm going to miss that so much, our little back and forth. And if you guys knew that, she loved to play games. She had a great sense of fun. She loved having fun with people. And I just wanted to share that with you guys.
I'm her brother, Howard, and get up, say something, thank everybody for being here today. But what started Debbie's whole life and the Christian life was when she was about 7 years old, a bus captain come by our house. We run church. We went one time a year, Easter, didn't know about the Lord, and a bus captain come by and invited us four children that were in the yard playing to go to church. Well, Debbie wanted to go. None of the rest of us, I guess, I was too young to know. I was 5 years old, but she was able to go, and she loved it. And so that one bus captain doing that, loving somebody stopping by, and from there, from that started her in the children's ministries, and all of our children went. So my dad was a prison chaplain for over 30 years. My brother was a preacher. He passed away a little over a year ago. So because of Debbie loving church, our whole family, and has blossomed to just not just few saved, thousands of people has been saved just because Debbie's ministry, my dad's, and the rest of the family's ministries. So, and who knows how many people has been touched because of one little girl going to Sunday school on the church bus and the children's ministry. And when she was in Bible college, she went to Hiles Anderson, graduated from there. She used to go from Hammond, Indiana to Chicago. They had a bus that would drive that far. She would do that bus route on Saturdays. Then on Sundays, she'd make that trip twice. You know, Chicago is the windy city. No matter how cold it was, she still made that trip. So that just shows you a little bit about her love for children. And, you know, the difference that people can make in people's lives is really evident in my sister's life. But just something, you know, people's already talked about how passionate she was. And I was about one of the few people that could actually get her a little bit like Joshua did. But we had a little thing going back the last couple years. I had made a couple breakfast quiches, and she had made one. Well, I had gotten a new phone, and I lost the pictures. Well, she had sent me the picture of hers, and it was just absolutely beautiful. And it's like, wow. So since I couldn't find mine, I snapshot hers on mine and sent mine to her, telling her, look at this breakfast quiche. And about 3 minutes later, I got back. I'm like, hey, that's mine. And so I sent it back and forth to her a little bit over the last couple years, that same picture. And I just sent it to her right before Christmas, and all I got back was grrr on the phone. So, but I do appreciate you all, and it's amazing how one person can make such a difference in somebody's lives. And encourage, you know, if you're involved in children's ministries, you never know what difference you can make, and heaven's going to be a much better place because of her. Thank you all.
I knew Ms. Smith as fifth grade teacher for my son, Chris. Chris, when he was younger, he had a lot of friends and great connections at Village. And we had to transition him over to Berean at that time on a quick note. And you know that, you know, when a child leaves everybody he knows, friends, good teachers, you go into a new school that can go either way. And the fact that she was there for him, my wife Annie and I were nervous, you know, we're trying to explain to her that he doesn't know anybody here, we don't know anybody here. And she just kind of gave us some real good comfort, which to me at that time I didn't understand, because being a parent, it's like, you know, what do you mean everything's going to be okay? He doesn't know anybody. We don't know anybody. But the point I want to make is, being who she was, I believe that she really set the stage for my son Chris's success here at Berean, not just with friends, but connections with teachers, setting a moral compass for him, a path, which is very important. She not only made him feel safe there in the classroom, but also made us feel like, okay, well, he's in a safe place. And I believe that, you know, just as this is God's, you know, sanctuary right here, I believe that she made her classroom God's sanctuary. And I truly believe that she really loved children just like Jesus did. That's what I remember of her. So thank you.
I'll share. I knew Debbie as a sister in Christ. She didn't teach me in the way that she did so many others, but I was in the same Sunday school class with her for years, and she could make us all pink and blush with a funny joke, and we could all be laughing one moment, and then she would always share prayer requests for you boys, always, just over and over and over. Her heart was always for the two of you. And she, when she would share prayer requests for herself or things as we would read a passage that she might be struggling with, I think one of you all mentioned it. It was just amazing to see how no matter all she was doing and who she was impacting, she still was always worried about her. Was it enough? What was I doing enough? Am I doing enough? Where am I with the Lord? And as a sister in Christ, it was just super encouraging to see she was open and vulnerable about her struggles. And that was always such an encouragement to everybody in the class. When her seat went empty in our class, that was very sad. Just a real voice of wisdom and care and true love of the Lord. And we have missed it. And I can remember going to visit her in the hospital thinking, you know, I'm going to do my best to be an encouragement to her. And, you know, just a couple minutes goes by and it was on. She was on the other foot. She was the one encouraging me. And she is loved, just so loved.
Wow, this is sad. She was our son's fifth grade teacher. Austin did homeschool when we were at Star Majors Academy. And when we had the opportunity to come back to Berean, Pam and I decided that we would hold Austin back so that he could have Debbie as his teacher. And he, like some other students, had his challenges. And Debbie was just remarkable with Austin. And it wasn't just that year. She never set aside her love for him. And Bonnie was right. She was incredible in Sunday school. She and I would go back and forth until I gave up. And then she had to have the last word. And then we'd move on. And then we could get into the Word of God. And she could be right there with you, delving into the deepest areas of the Word of God and the difficulties with the text. On Christmas morning, I woke up to a text message. It was Merry Christmas from Debbie. Immediately sent her a picture of Autumn and I. And that's all our communication was. And I thought, why isn't she responding? Why isn't she texting me back? Autumn was cute in that picture. Everyone always texts back how cute Autumn is. And then it was the next day that I got word. And I thought, church, it's good that we go to funerals. It's good that we come and assemble. It's good that we remind ourselves of the inevitability of our own deaths. That outside of the return of Jesus Christ in our lifetime, we too will meet our Maker in the same way that Debbie has met our Maker. And when we come and assemble around and celebrate a life like we've done today in such a God-honoring way, in such a Christ-exalting way, in such a way that truly glorifies our Lord and Savior and our God and Creator, it reminds us to say, I love you more. You It reminds us to take time for those things that are important. When I picked up my phone on that Christmas morning, I immediately thought it had been too long since I'd texted with Debbie. So today I want to encourage all of us, before I read the Word of God, to think about who I need to text, who I need to call, who I need to rekindle a relationship with for just a moment, who I need to say I love you to one more time, recognizing that you never know when the last text message is going to be. I think about both Michael and Josh and the entire time that I was Debbie's pastor from 2006 forward, the love that she had for you. And I think about, young men, how special it is to both of you to know that you had a mother and a father, and that you had an aunt that was just crazy about you. I remember the story that Matt shared and the degree to which Debbie got everyone that she knew praying. She truly believed in the power of prayer. She lived that out. I want to pray more. So the text I want to share with you is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Incredible verses. I want to read them the way they're meant to be read. And I want all of us to be encouraged for just a few minutes, just a short couple of minutes together, letting the Word of God this afternoon encourage us. Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica, "But I would not want to have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Right away, Paul tells us that we, the people of God, the brethren, the brothers and sisters in Christ, that we do not grieve like the rest of the world grieves. That our grieving, our sorrow is utterly and completely different. And the reason it is in fact different is communicated in the text with two words. And the first word is asleep. Asleep. What do you mean asleep? That's the word Paul chose. He communicates death as though it's nothing but asleep. Isn't that encouraging? To know that she's asleep? As opposed to dead? That's what he could have said, but he didn't. Because that final time was like going to sleep on this earth and waking up in heaven. She has already experienced the first resurrection. Paul assures us that absent from the body is, say it with me, let's be encouraged, present with the Lord. Today, gathered here to remember the life of Debbie, we are reminded that we, of all people, have the greatest hope. The greatest hope. Our hope is found in verse 14. Paul writes, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again." Howard, thank you so much for sharing that story concerning the bus worker, because Debbie had shared with that with me so many times as she shared her testimony. She always started there with the reality that it was a single bus worker that invited her to church that led to her entire relationship with Christ. And there is no doubt that that bus worker believed what we believe, which what Paul communicates in verse 14. If we believe, if, it's a conditional expression implying that everyone doesn't believe this. But for those who do believe that Jesus died and rose again, for Paul, that was the gospel. That those two words tied together, died and rose again. In verse 3 and 4 of chapter 15, he will write, died for our sins and rose again on the third day. But this is enough. This reminds the church of Thessalonica that Paul is talking about the gospel with the words died and rose again. And then he says this, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. What an incredible thought. There are others who are sleeping with Debbie. And they too believe that Christ died for them. They too believe that Jesus rose again on the third day. They are in Christ, united with Christ. And God promises that he will bring them back with Jesus. If you feel like the passion is a little bit too much, you don't understand the text. Because this is the central theme to the Christian faith. This is the glorious truth. This is what we call the good news. Verse 15. For this we say unto you. And then to add credibility, as though Paul needs to add any credibility, he adds this prepositional phrase, by the word of the Lord. This validates, this strengthens, this makes what he's getting ready to say even more authoritative. This we say unto you, and this is coming from the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming, the Greek word there is parousia, of the Lord shall not prevent or go before or precede them which are asleep. Think about what he is saying here. There are two groups of people, both of which are believers. There are believers who are with the Lord, and there are believers who are alive on the earth. Neither group goes before the other. God, through Christ, brings them back. And we who are alive are going to be raptured to be with the Lord. This means to say to us today that someday, if all of us were alive, and this was the day that Christ was coming, that we could look up and see Debbie in her glorified body. Truthfully, I can't think of anything more important to preach at her funeral than these incredible words. The text goes on to say, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The Lord himself, Jesus Christ himself, is going to descend from heaven. And the language is with a shout, with the voice of the archangel making the glorious announcement, Christ is coming. And then the trumpet of God is going to sound. And then listen to these words. Listen to these incredible words. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Wow. So presently, Debbie is in heaven as her spirit is there, while her body remains in Fayetteville in a cemetery. And in less than the twinkle of an eye, God is going to do an incredible miracle. And that is to say, he's going to resurrect her decrepit, corruptible body and transform it into that which is glorified and unite her spirit with that glorified body. And that's the state she's going to live in for all eternity. Do you not believe that? This is why we can celebrate. This is why we're not grieving as the rest of the world grieves. This is why this is not the end. This is why there's more. It's incredible. Verse 17. Then
we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Sin no longer will separate us from our Lord. Death will no longer separate us from our Lord. The evil wiles of the devil will no longer separate us from our Lord. We will be with our Lord, and he will be with us. Revelation 22, 21 and 22 describes it like this. We will be his people, and he will be our God. So now I end with what Paul says to us in verse number 18, and we are done. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The idea is literally turn one to another. Turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, we have a hope in Christ Jesus. So do it right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, we have a hope in Christ Jesus. We have the glorious hope of seeing Miss Debbie again. I had the most amazing OMA. And I mean that with all my heart. I was so blessed to have this amazing OMA because my mom and dad were just as chewed up as could be. Gary kind of chewed up like a screen door in a submarine chewed up. But my OMA, man, she was just right there. And she would never say goodbye. She always insisted that we say, see you later. See you later. It was never goodbye. We would never say goodbye. It was always, see you later. See you later. See you later, Debbie. See you later, Debbie. Let's pray. Our Lord and Savior, we love you so much. Say it with me, church, we love you. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you for the glorious gospel that if we will put our faith in your death, burial, and resurrection, you will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You will adopt us into your family, seal us with the Holy Spirit, give us an eternal inheritance. You give us promises that are irrevocable. Promises that if we are united in Christ Jesus, that for us, absent from the body is present with you. And we long, O God, to be with you. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come, come, Lord Jesus. And until that day, help us to live in such a way that we're striving to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Gentlemen, if you're back in there, come, and we're going to ask the family to go back into the narthex, and then so that you can receive and say your final goodbyes to all the guests. Thank you so much for being so faithful and turning out.
All the congregation would stand for the family, please. Thank you.